The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now we go to the Balkans, where vaccine rollout flounders and Russia and China ride to the rescue. Garrett Patrick Kelly, founder and principal of the think tank Sea Change Net, is on the line from Sarajevo. Garrett, good morning and welcome.
Good morning from Sarajevo, Pat.
As it happened the other day, I was looking to see who was best in class and worst in class in terms of infections. And, you know, I was looking at the United States and the UK and Spain and France. And then I happened upon the Balkans. And the rates of infection there are truly horrifying. Why is it so bad?
Yes, before we plunge into the data on death, can I flag up something? There is one good piece of data coming out of the Balkans. We're going to talk about it later. Who is amongst the top five in vaccine administration? And it's a country in this region. So before we go to that, let's talk about the bad news. Indeed, Belgium, I'm doing the deaths per million now, Pat, because it goes up and down all the time. But if you look at the deaths per million, the top five places are Belgium, the UK, Bosnia, Italy, and the USA. So that's 1,500 people dead for every million of population. And it became so serious the other day that the prime minister of Canton Sarajevo held a press conference to say it simply wasn't good enough. There was a restaurant down in Ilija, which is a spa part of the town, 250 people having lunch, and the guy got fined €1,000. It was hardly dented his business. So the prime minister of the canton is extremely frustrated. He sounds like some of your listeners. He's thinking, why, if there's vaccines out there and I'm in such a bad place, can I not get some of them?
Now, you actually spoke to him, so let's hear a little bit of the interview with the prime minister of the canton of Sarajevo. Let's hear what he had to say.
We acted today to get some conclusions out, to also tell to the public that the pandemic isn't over, that vaccines are not even in sight, and that we have to remain careful and keep up with following the measures and instructions from the authorities. And it seems like we have loosened up a little bit, like people have relaxed a bit, people and businesses.
You say that vaccines are not in sight. You did try to procure vaccines. What happened there?
We're still trying to procure vaccines. The problem is, as first, certain producers don't want to talk to cantons, they want to talk to states, such as Pfizer, and they don't hide this fact. So they only talk to the state, and our state is not doing anything. I'm embarrassed about this. Also, others are working in the market. So I spoke to another big producer in the West. He said the smallest amount quantity you can order is 1.5 million doses. This is not what Canton can do or afford. So this is where also the state should have stepped in, and they didn't.
Now, you might explain, Garrett, the structure, because you have, 11 cantons, therefore 11 health ministers. It's complicated.
It is complicated, and I think that's part of the problem. But you can sense the frustration. The Canton Sarajevo is the largest canton. It's where the capital city is. There's almost 400,000 people here. And there's the greatest number of infections and deaths are here. And there's a certain amount of autonomy there that you can see that this is a very popular prime minister of the canton. And he's determined to do something. And in fact, between the time we did that interview and me talking to you this morning, they announced that that he had got 1 million AstraZeneca doses via United Emirates. This is unconfirmed, but you can see that he's determined to get vaccines for the canton.
Now, the reasons for infections, obviously the extent of lockdown, how well people obey the lockdowns and so on and so forth. That's one side of the problem. But vaccine procurement right throughout the Balkans has been an issue. And the whole question of who's in NATO, does that make a difference? Who's close to the European Union, does that make a difference? Who's close to Russia? Where does China come in? It's almost like a different version of the Cold War.
Yes. Well, if you look at the top five, who are the top five people vaccinating their citizens? Israel's done almost 50%. UK is in number two place at 25%. Then number five position is Serbia, with almost 12% of the population already vaccinated. And they started doing this with a rollout of Sinopharm, the Chinese, Sputnik, and I believe BioNTech, the Pfizer one. And, you know, they had a rollout in early January where the prime minister is photographed getting the BioNTech vaccine, and then the Minister of Interior is doing Sputnik, and then the Minister of Health is doing Sinopharm. And you could actually put yourself down on the list, regardless of your profile, and just wait. And if you said, I'm willing to take any vaccine, you got given vaccines sooner than you would if you said you wanted a specific one. So, you know, Serbia went out there. It actually got some vaccines from Boris Johnson from the UK. It got Chinese vaccines. It got Sputnik vaccines from Russia. So it ended up with 12 million vaccines. And it was, you know, this was part of its, Tito used to do this in Yugoslavia as well, play off different players, you know, be friends with everyone. And now Serbia is doing a mini version of this in the region. It's allowed healthcare workers from the Republika Srpska part of Bosnia to be vaccinated in Serbia, 5,000 of them. It sent to Montenegro a present of a couple of thousand vaccine doses. So, you know, there is a political dimension to what they've done, but let's be honest, they organized themselves extremely well, and being just outside of Europe but close to Europe meant that they were able to benefit from all different sources of vaccine production.
Now, we know that Brussels has been criticized for being slow in its own approach to vaccine procurement, having decided to do it on behalf of the entire EU, and then they turned out to be rather more tardy than people had expected. So is there a kind of an anti-EU feeling throughout the Balkans because they haven't done what they might have done as friends?
Well, a very good friend of mine in Belgrade who already had the Chinese vaccine and is a journalist and a very sensible guy said, you can quote me on this. I have full confidence in the Chinese vaccine and I have no confidence at all that the EU cares about Serbia. Now, There's a certain amount of positioning going on there, you see, because China and Russia are both countries which don't like separatists. China, of course, wants Hong Kong back. It would like to take, you know, control of anywhere that it formerly had any link with Taiwan. And Russia likes to annex places. But Kosovo is the single biggest bloc to Serbia entering the European Union. And they know that by relying on Russia and China, who both have seats at the Security Council, that they can stop or slow down this. Now, they all know, and they say it in public, that the inevitable pathway for Serbia is to join the European Union. But they're not above playing the game to start with. And they, let's say, they've done an excellent job for their people. And this has left the European Commission absolutely at sixes and sevens. The European Commission announced that it had given 70 million to buy vaccines and prepare the cold chain for countries in the region. And they're getting no press at all. It got to the point where Ursula von der Leyen had to say that she wondered why Russia was still offering doses outside its own country when it had only vaccinated 2% of its own people.
It's an interesting question and an interesting remark from Ursula von der Leyen, but clearly they see a strategic advantage in appearing to be generous. But the Serbs are doing quite well, therefore. They're playing everybody off against each other. I mean, the Chinese wanting to appear more generous than the Russians and vice versa, the Russians and the Chinese leaving the European Union flat-footed, even though they had supplied funds. It's not, you know, a euro is not a jab in the arm.
Yes. I mean, the game is being played here and played very well. And even when it comes to money, if you look at investment in this region, the new Green Deal for the Balkans will have 9 billion euros in it. The Chinese had already promised 20 billion euros for infrastructure projects in this part of the world. So, you know, it's the European Union is here for the long haul. The European Union is definitely doing the most fundamental reform and support for the countries. And in every country in the region, people want to join. But, you know, they really should try and get ahead of these kind of, what would you call them, snafus in the media sector?
Yeah.
Their communication is not really is not really hitting home, and people are frustrated, you know. You can feel the frustration of the Prime Minister of the Canton there, you know. He wants to do something and he feels blocked.
Finally, the legacy of Donald Trump, at least one tiny fraction of it was overturned in Kosovo.
Yes, in Kosovo last year, Pat, there was an election, and a guy who used to be in an NGO who ended up doing his group ended up setting off smoke bombs in the parliament in Kosovo. His name is Albin Kurti. He got into government fractionally last year. And then one of his own ministers voted against him on a COVID-related issue. You know, he wanted to do something which one of his ministers said, no, this is going to obstruct our human rights. The American ambassador immediately came out and said they had no confidence in Kurti's government because they wanted to do a deal with the people who had been in the government before, who actually are all wanted for war crimes in The Hague. And, you know, Trump thought that he was coming into the last stretch, and he thought, well, I can deliver Kosovo and Serbia. I've got two people who will do a deal there. Someone who's wanted for a war crime in Kosovo and Vucic, the very pragmatic president of Serbia. And it got to the point where the government collapsed and they went to another election. And now I think it would be fair to say that Kurti has won comprehensively. And he, while he is more hardline on dealing with Serbia, his number one commitment is to clean up the corruption in Kosovo. And he has been quoted as saying, you know, my number one thing to do is clean up corruption and get my country sorted out. Number six on the list is negotiating with Serbia about Kosovo's independence.
All right. Well, it's a fascinating area, always has been. And thank you very much for joining us from Sarajevo. That's Garrett Patrick Kelly, who is founder and principal of the think tank Sea Change Net.